I don't know about you, but as a little child, and what I mean by little, 6 years old, 5 years old, I remember walking on the beach where I grew up and talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to serve you. As a six-year-old, saying, Lord, I'd like to know you. As a seven-year-old, as a small child, wanting the Lord in my life, understanding that he's the only answer at that age. And now when I've gotten to this age, you know, stuff isn't it. Another new car isn't it. Another new pair of shoes isn't it. A bigger house isn't it. You know why? Because you're created in the image and the likeness of God. You're a spirit, first and foremost. So physical things of this world will never satisfy you. Never satisfied with physical things. Never satisfied. But with the Lord, he's the well that has never run dry on me. And even now, all these years later, I still want to know him. I want to know you, Lord, deeper and deeper. And higher and higher. And I still want to walk with you longer and longer, stronger and stronger. Because I don't have all the answers for my life. And I don't know everything. And I don't know what to do to win. But I know you do. So I want to know you, Lord, deeper and deeper, and higher and higher. And I want to walk with you longer and longer. I'm going to get real good at this down here. Stronger and stronger. And he shows me how to win my battles. He shows me what to do when I don't know what to do. And I'm getting better and better at that. But I want to get to the place where he shows me what to do for other people that don't know him at all. I want to get to the place where my life is an outpouring of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, like a river flowing out to meet the needs of a hurting humanity, people that can't see him yet, people that don't know him yet, people that have been told lies about him their whole life. But I want to know him so that other people can know him at greater and greater and greater and greater levels. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Well, the title of our sermon and the series that we've been going through for the last several weeks now is More Than Conquering. More Than Conquering. We have some wonderful ushers in the aisle right now. If you would like to follow along in a paper Bible, they would be happy to serve you. Praise God. If you've bought your own Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. You know, the Lord will always show you how to win. He will always answer your prayers. We're seeing this pattern in the Bible where he always showed people how to win. When they called on him, he answered them by his Spirit, and he showed them what to do to get their victory instructions. I see that pattern. I'm seeing it. Are you seeing it? When Moses cried out to him, he answered and showed him what to do to save 3 million people. Are you seeing that? Because I'm seeing that. Are you seeing that Joshua was told before a battle how to win the battle and just went over the river, took the city. I mean, to tell you what, that's the greatest battle I've ever seen in my life. The walls of the city fell right into the ground, and they walked over on flat land. What human being would ever think of that? He told them how to win. He showed them the victory plan before the battle. They knew what they were doing when the priest's feet hit the water in the river. They weren't going over like, we don't know what to do. We don't know what the plan is. Well, whatever happens, happens. And if we win, we win. And if we lose, we lose. No, that's not faith. That's walking in darkness. They had specific instructions from God. Remember who you can't see? He's a spirit, and he'll reveal things to your spirit. And they won not by power, not by their own victory plan, not by the amount of soldiers and swords and shields we had, but by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how I want you to do it. March around the city 6 days. And then on the seventh day, march around 7 times. And then blow the trumpets and shout, for I have given you the victory. Now that sounds a lot like the sower sows the word. God said something to them. And they have the choice to agree with that or to not believe that. They have the choice to listen to that. They have the choice to be the hard ground. And if, I'll tell you what, if Joshua was hard ground, he would have said, Lord, not telling me how to take the city. I'm not hearing anything. I didn't hear anything. Did you hear anything? No, he just told you how to take the city. Or the rocky ground. He heard it, but he don't believe. I hear that, and that's great. I'd like to take, but that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. You're going to kill us if we go in that way and just march around the city. Or you could be the weedy ground where you heard it, but man, look at that piece of land over here still on this side of the river. That's pretty nice too. Other things, I could start my life here. But then there's the good ground. The kind of a person that God can say something to and they actually hear it. They pay attention to it. They know it's him. They believe it, and they believe it so much. What do they Well, they believe it's God speaking. They believe what he said to the place that they'll act on what God just told them on the inside. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. This is how battle after battle after battle after battle was won. We're seeing it. Are you seeing it? Where God talked to people, they heard him, they believed him, they did what he said, and then what he said happened. That sounds so much like Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. Some fell on hard ground, some fell on rocky ground, some fell on weedy ground, some fell on good ground. And that good ground produced exactly what God said. Hold your rod out over the water. What? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Hold your rod out over the water. I'm not going to do that. Hold your rod out over the water. Tell the people to move forward. Oh, look at that new chariot over there. That's so nice. I think I might get one of those. Aaron, you want to go in on that new chariot over there? Hold your rod out over the water. Tell the people to move forward. No, I hear that, and I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to do that right now. This is the victory process that overcame in every single battle they came up against. And the same victory process is available today. Tonight's title is Right in Front of Our Eyes. God Speaks to His People. People could hear God when he spoke, and it was at a level that they knew it was him. They believed him, And when they acted on what he said, it produced a harvest in their life. He'll tell us what to do. He'll show us what to do. The victory will be the Lord showing you how to win. The victory will be gotten by the Lord leading you in what to do. There's a victory process. I'm going to go to one verse. We're in Ephesians 1:17. I'm just going to say this one. You don't have to turn. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everybody say, all things. All things. He spared not his own son, freely gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Why wouldn't he answer every prayer that we have right away? Why wouldn't he show us how to win? Why wouldn't he tell us what to do? Why wouldn't he? He's given us his son. How is he not going to give us everything else, especially that's at a level that's not as big as his son coming and dying for us? He freely gives battle-winning instructions all the time by his Spirit. So Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, this is a prayer that Paul prays for us, may give unto you the spirit of Theopoko and Mimika. May give unto you a spirit of, what's another Samoan word that I know? May give to you a spirit of stupid and not knowing anything and blind and not able to know God and not able to know what to do. Is that what Paul prayed for us? No, he said that he might give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of who? In the knowledge of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Pastor Junior has been talking about on Sunday, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the heart. It says the belly, but the core of your being. The spirit of a man is where God will enlighten you. He will show you what to do in that place, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, that you might know him, might know things. The word says that people perish for a lack of knowledge, not a lack of knowing multiplication or how to tie your shoes, but a lack of knowing what to do when their 911 situation comes. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, help us. Well, as soon as you cry, Jeremiah says, call unto me and I will never answer you. I will never show you what to do. You're on your own. Umalakis. That's not what it says. Call unto me and I will answer you. Sometimes, no, every time. And I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. So what we want is answers from God for our lives. And our spirit is the receiver for that. Everybody got a radio in your car? You turn the radio on, it's specially formulated that it can read radio waves that you can't see with your eyes. But it can transmit the sound through this piece of equipment into your car. And with the push of a button, you can hear music. Where's the wire all the way to the radio station? Oh, it's wireless. You don't need a wire plugged in. It can receive radio waves. Well, you're a spirit, and you can receive spirit waves. WGOD 99.9 FM. You can receive God's spirit speaking to your spirit. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." Do you mean whosoever? No, it says whatsoever. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, when Moses cried to the Lord and said, "Lord, help us," God responded immediately and said, "Why are you crying to me? Hold your rod out over the water. Tell the people to move forward." Was that a born of man idea? Or was that a born of God answer? Then I heard another voice on the inside of my spirit. And Pastor Junior has been talking about what kind of a voice that is. Who he is and what he sounds like. He's a spirit of peace. He's a spirit of joy. He's a spirit of adoption. He's familiar. It's clean. It's pure. There's life. I heard him say, "You're winning. Get up. You're winning. Get up." And I was the only person in the room. If someone had actually been standing in the room, they would not have heard that, because it wasn't a physical transaction. It wasn't an intellectual transaction. It wasn't an audible physical voice. It was a hidden transaction of the heart. But I heard it. And I turned my head, and I just said exactly what the Lord said. I said, "I'm winning." Do you know, faith has to start somewhere. It might start while you're still crying a little bit. But you can go from that to standing up. I was thinking about this. Sometimes when I get punched and I kind of go down for a little bit, what do you do while you're down? Well, I think about what I'm going to do when I stand up and how hard I'm going to punch back after I just got a punch in my life from the adversary. So I might be down on the carpet for a couple seconds. "What are you doing down there, Patty?" "I'm thinking about how hard I'm going to punch back when I stand back up." Sorry, it's a little violent tonight. And so I wanted to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again from the Very Smart People's Translation. And then I want to tell you a little bit more to this story. And hopefully if we can go really, really fast, we can get to another story where God, he worked an amazing victory. And a king was able to go up against a million-man army and beat them. Praise God. That's more than conquering, right? Well, we need to get this in our hearts. We need to even get it in our brains. When I need help, I go to the Lord. Only Him. Only He has the answer. And I got to get this straight. My answer is not going to come from out here. It's going to come from inside of me. "You're winning, get up," came from inside. It was hidden wisdom. Hidden physically, hidden intellectually, but God's spirit spoke to my spirit. And just like Moses, I heard it. And I acted on it. I got up and I got up swinging. I said, "Okay, you took my husband. Satan, you took my husband. I'll tell you what's going to happen now. You should have never punched me. You should have never hurt me. Because for the rest of my life, I'm going to be a relentless wind in your face. My life, my efforts in the kingdom, I'm going to be a relentless wind in your face. I'm going to spoil all your parties. I'm going to rain on all your parades. I'm going to eat all your food. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. The Really Smart People translation, which is the WEAST translation, taken from the original Greek. says this, there is a wisdom, however, which we are in the habit of speaking among those who are spiritually mature, but not a wisdom of this present age, or even a wisdom of the rulers of this age who are in the process of being liquidated. Verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in the form of a mystery long hidden, but now revealed and understandable. So in the past, this was hidden wisdom. But now it's revealed and it's understandable. That wisdom which has been kept secret, which God foreordained before the ages with a view to our glory. Verse 8, which wisdom not one of the rulers of this age has known in an experiential way. For had they known it, in that case, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. If Pilate had this hidden wisdom, the ability to see things in his spirit, when he had Jesus there on trial, his spirit would have recognized that this is the Christ. This is the Son of God. This is the Word made flesh. Like Peter, who knew by revelation, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. You didn't learn that in school. No one else told you that. But my Father revealed that to you on the inside. Pilate didn't have that working in his life. If he did, he would not have crucified the Lord. Verse 9, but even as it stands written, the things which I did not see nor ear hear, and which did not arise within an individual's heart, physical eyes didn't see it, physical ears didn't hear it, it didn't come into your heart from the outside by intellectual training. So many things as God prepared for those who love him. For to us, God the Father revealed them. Revealed what? The things that eyes can't see and ears can't hear. God has revealed those things to us. Let me get my place. Through the intermediate agency of the Holy Spirit. God reveals things to us through the intermediate agency of the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit is constantly exploring all things, even the deep things of God. Verse 11, for who is there of men who knows the things of the individual person except the human spirit of that aforementioned individual person which is in him? In the same manner also the things of God no one has known except the Spirit of God. But as for us, not the spirit of the world system did we receive, but the Spirit who is of God, in order that we might come to know the things which by God have been given in grace bestowed upon us, which things also we put into words, not in words taught by human philosophy, but in words taught by the Spirit, fitly joining together spirit-revealed truths with spirit-taught words. Can you guys look on the screen and just, because I know nobody probably has a WIS translation. What are we talking about? We're talking about spirit-revealed truths with spirit-taught words. We're not talking about intellectual wisdom received from a lecturer or through intellectual study. We're not talking about physical wisdom. Your body can't receive this kind of wisdom because it's only received by your spirit. Your mind can't receive this kind of wisdom, because it's only received by your spirit. Verse 14 talks about this further. But the unregenerated man of the highest intellectual attainments does not grant access to the things of the Spirit of God. Smart people don't recognize spiritual communication. For to him they are folly or nonsense, and he is not able to come to know them because they are investigated in a spiritual realm. People that aren't born again cannot hear the Spirit of God the way we're talking about right now. It's foolishness to them. If it's not mental, intellectual, or physical, they don't understand. What in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about God's Spirit speaking to your spirit and you being able to hear that, sense that, know that, receive that, understand that, believe that, step out on that. The same way you would step out on a written word, you would step out on a spoken word and receive a harvest from heaven to earth. Thank you, Lord. People that aren't born again don't know how to do this because these things are investigated and found in the spirit realm. Verse 15, but the spiritual man investigates. Another translation says it this way, but the spiritual man discerns indeed all things, but he himself is not being, again, a better word, discerned by anyone. For who has come to know experientially the Lord's mind? He who will instruct him? Question mark. But as for us, Christ's mind we have. Again, we're not talking about intellectual wisdom. We're not talking about physical understanding. Your physical body cannot receive spiritual communication. Your intellectual mind cannot receive spiritual communication. In a class here, we say this, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. With my body, I contact the physical realm. That makes total sense, right? With my mind, I contact the intellectual realm. With my spirit, I contact the spirit, the things of the spirit. We can make it real simple. My body can't contact the spirit realm, can't receive messages from the spirit realm. My mind can't either. But my spirit can understand and receive spiritual transactions. Luke 17, verse 20. Everybody okay? Them some heavy words. Do you know? All the pastoral staff here, we want God to be so real to you. And maybe you've never heard messages like this before, but I believe God's trying to get you to a place where you really know him. Where you really know him, and you can really hear from him, and he can bring you to the place where your prayers are being answered. Like we said, your prayers are being answered, but now he's asking you to do things for other people. See that person right there? Tell him that I love him. Tell him that they're going to be okay. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, this is the Lord Jesus being questioned by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. When is the kingdom of God coming? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here. Lo, there. There it is. Look, look, look. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Let me read some different translations to this. We're really trying to nail this point down. Because for so many years, I tried to have a physical and an intellectual relationship with the Lord, and it just was not happening. I would go out into the night and cry at the mountains,
cry out and say, Lord, where are you? Well, the kingdom of God's not, we don't look outside, we look inside. Thank you, Lord. The King James 21 version says, when the Pharisees had demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with outward show. It doesn't come with an outward show. Neither shall they say, lo, there it is. Lo, it's here. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Within you. Remember we said the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts. Amplified says, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible. Now, when we say visible displays, we mean physically visible displays. Nor will people say, look, here it is, or see, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. One more translation, the Darby translation says, and having been asked by the Pharisees, when is the kingdom of God coming? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor shall they say, lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Oops, I lied. There's one more translation. Just trying to drill this into your heads, drill this into your hearts. If I'm going to receive answers from God, it's going to be on the level that he exists at. God is a spirit. He's going to talk to your spirit. That's the way it's been set up. The expanded translation says, some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus answered, God's kingdom is coming, but not in a way that you will be able to see with your eyes. It is not coming with observable, visible signs. Perhaps the heavenly signs described in Jewish apocalyptical literature. Verse 21, people will not say, look, here it is, or look, there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. You know, the king that I bow to, I've never seen him with my physical eyes, but I sense him on the inside. I bow to him from the inside. He leads me from the inside. He shows me how to win from the inside. I hear him on the inside. Hidden wisdom. That sounds like an oxymoron, but it's hidden, but you can see it. It's hidden, but you can hear it. I hear him. Invisible answers to people that might be standing around you, but they're not invisible to me. I heard that you're winning. Get up loud and clear. Mysterious, but not really mysterious. I like what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, it's given to you to know the mysteries. It's given to you to know, not to stay ignorant for the rest of your life. Revelation. Pay attention. Listen to your spirit. Develop spiritually so that when he does speak, you don't miss your victory plan. I want to take a small... Well, let me get back to that story. I'm going to digress to something that happened in my life. And it's kind of a pre-story to the you're winning, get up story. Is that okay? Do you guys... Is that okay? Story time? Well, it was about, I believe the year 2002, somewhere in there, and Brother Hagin had announced that he was going to prophesy at camp meeting up to the year 2014 or something amazing like that. Now, remember, this is the year 2002, and everyone was flying in for this meeting. Everyone was there. People, even with private jets, all the big name ministers, they're flying in with their private jets. The meeting room was completely fully booked. Oh man, if you don't get there on time, you might not get a seat. That kind of a meeting situation where the whole world is flying in to hear Brother Hagin prophesy, prophet of the Lord. Praise God. So we had gone to Tulsa and we're ready to go to this meeting. And I had my dress laid out on the bed and I had my shoes like right under it. Because that's girl stuff, right? Sorry so much that, yeah. I had my dress laid out on the bed. I had my shoes ready. I was like, woo, this is going to be an awesome night. Woo. And then as the afternoon started to wane and it's about time to get ready and get in the shower, put some makeup on, do the hair, blah, 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 I sensed in my heart, don't go. And I thought, what? No, we're here. We flew in for the, I got the dress, the shoes, the bag. I said, I just pushed it to the side, which you can do real easily when your heart tells you something. And then it came again, stay home tonight. Don't go tonight. And it was so clear, and it just was consistent. And so finally, after about 2 hours of that, I looked at my dress. I hung it back up. I put the shoes back in the closet. And I said, I'm not going to go tonight for some reason. And the response from everybody was, what? This is like, if you're not in this meeting, this is like the meeting of meetings that everyone's going to be there. I said, I know, my dress, my shoes. You guys know I like shoes and dresses, right? That's pretty much it. Chocolate, cheeseburgers. It's pretty much me and Jesus, the Bible. And so, especially Brother Dunnick, I said, I really sense to just stay here, and I don't know why. And he said, okay. So they all left, and there I am sitting there all by myself, like Celine Dion. All by myself. And so I'm, you know, it's not my house, so I'm looking around. Hello, hello. There's a piano there, so I'm pretending I can play the piano, singing. And then I went and sat down in a chair. I thought, Lord, why'd you tell me to stay here? And I just began to worship him. And I started to sing a song. I'm going to sing you the song. See what key we're in. Just him and me, nobody there. More than anything, it's you I long for. More than anyone, it's you I adore. With all of my heart, I worship you, Lord, more than anything, more than anything. Sounds like a great country song, right? More than anything, it's you I long for. More than anyone, it's you I adore. With all of my heart, I worship you, Lord, more than anyone, more than anyone. And the presence of the Lord filled the room. Just me all by myself. The presence of the Lord filled the room. And I sensed his peace. I always sense his peace. First, that's him. He's drawing near. And as I was singing that song, more than anything, he said, I have called you to the South Pacific. Just like that. I said, yeah, thank you, Lord. I know that. With Kel. And he didn't say no. He just said no. He repeated it. He said, I've called you to the South Pacific. I said, thank you, Lord. Yeah, me and Kel. Called to the South Pacific together. And five times, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I've called you to the South Pacific. And I thought, this is the strangest thing. Is this what you had me stay home for? It was. 5 times, I've called you to the South Pacific. I've called you to the South Pacific. I've called you to the South Pacific. And the presence of the Lord is the same way it came. It just lifted out of the room. And there I sat. They came home. They told me about the meeting and how awesome and how Brother Hagin prophesied all the way out to 2014 or whatever it was, 2011. And they said, what did you do? I said, well, you know, nothing really. And later I told Kel, I said, the Lord just, I sang to him, and then he told me I was called to the South Pacific. He said, oh, that's great. Praise God. That's about 2002. And then fast forward about 2008, I'm in an ambulance with Brother Dunnick, screaming at the top of my lungs, hold on, Kel, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And the emergency drivers are saying, he's coding. That means he's dying. He's dead. There's no heartbeat. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, hold on, Kel, you're going to make it. And they wheeled him into the emergency room. His brother came to me and said, he's gone. What do you want to do? And I said, what's protocol? He said, we'll work on him for 30 minutes to bring him back. I said, do that. Do protocol. And so they worked on him for 30 minutes with the heart electrical fingers. And he didn't come back. And I remember they came out to me and said, you can go in now. And look, he's gone. I said, oh, okay. And I went over, and he was laying there on the, is this okay? Sorry, guys. This is, I'm just trying to show you how the Holy Spirit will get you through your darkest day and even prepare you ahead of time. And so there he was laying on the table, and they had him all wrapped up in swaddling almost, but his mouth was open. And I ran over to the table, and I just took his head in my hands, and I closed his mouth. And I said, Lord, what should I do? And he said, I have called you to the South Pacific. You wonder how some people are still standing. You wonder how people can go through tremendous loss and tremendous heartbreak, but still keep getting up and doing what God has asked them to do. I'll tell you what, in that moment, I was transported back to the day where the Lord said, don't go to this meeting, stay home with me. 6 years before, didn't even know I would be holding my husband's body in my hands and wondering what to do. And the Lord, 6 years before, 5 times said, I have called you to the South Pacific. Huh? I have called you to the South Pacific. I have called you to the South Pacific. I've called you. And then at the moment when I needed it the most, Lord, what should I do? I have called you to the South Pacific. And I don't know if you understand that, but that's my whole life. He's giving me a life. He's giving me a future. He's giving me a purpose. And just, I have called you to the South Pacific. 8 words. That is the entire rest of my life that he was able to personally deliver a very direct message, where the whole world of Christianity is at Brother Hagin's meeting, and I'm all by myself in the secret place of the Most High. I was in the secret place of the Most High God, and he saved my life that night. He showed me something that I didn't even know that was my future alone. And a lot of people will say, well, why'd you come back to Samoa? Well, remember, we just talked about the intermediate agency of the Holy Spirit, those big words. It's because all those years ago, even before I knew what the future would bring, the Lord confirmed to me by his Spirit, to my spirit, five times, I have called you to the South Pacific. I have called you to the South Pacific. So that's why I came back. Based on what? Based on hearing that loud and clear in my heart years and years and years ago. Can I tell you a little bit more of the story? You okay? I'm just telling you, you know, you sang. I was singing with you in the other room. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. Why are you still standing, Pastor? Because God has picked me up so many times from the inside and told me, you can make it. I'm with you. You're winning. Not much longer. You're going to make it. You're going to take the South Pacific. You're setting everything in motion. Don't give up. I'm hearing stuff like that every day, and it's causing me to stand. I believe what he's saying on the inside of me. So that was in the operating room where they tried to revive Brother Dunnick. And about 6 hours later, that's when I was on the floor crying, because I was so tired. And the Lord said, you're winning. Get up. So I got up. And I went out the door. I went out the door of the house. I went into the backyard. And right as I was walking across the lawn, Kelly's dad, Willis Dunnick, met me in the backyard. It's about 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. And he said, you're the one. You're the one that's supposed to go back. Do you know how the Lord will confirm some things to you that he's shown your spirit through someone else? And really, I didn't know how Mr. Dunnick would feel about me going back in the ministry. I thought for sure he'd say, just stay home. Just stay home with the kids, and somebody else can take that ministry. Somebody else is called to the South Pacific. Somebody else can do it. But I was so surprised. He got up. Same time I got up, we met right in the backyard, and he said, you're the one. And he's got tears in his eyes. You're the one. You're supposed to go back. You're supposed to take this. You're supposed to do this. So I got a confirmation from the leader of the Dunnick family. And then I cried, he cried. Then we went back inside. He went his way, I went my way. And then 30 minutes after that, I got a call from Brother Keith Moore. And he said, Patty, I don't know what your plan is, but usually the anointing or the giftings of God fall on the people that are closest to the person that goes home. And he says, and it's on you, it's on you, it's on you. All these things happening in just a short space of time, but the Holy Spirit helping me know the future. The Holy Spirit helping me navigate and make the right step. The Holy Spirit helping me not to close it all down. Juma, we wouldn't be here right now. We wouldn't be training people at this level. But that's the hidden wisdom. And here we are today still. Can you take a little bit more? Thank you, Lord. Now, I know if the Lord would talk to me this way, I'm sure that he'll talk to you this way about your life. I'm sure that he will. It's just a matter of making some small adjustments as Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, it says to not to lean on your understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your spirit. Not trust in the Lord with all your mind, not trust in the Lord with all your physical body, but trust in the Lord with all your spirit. Don't lean. I like Pastor Junior did this. It said, don't lean on your intellect. Don't lean on your physical body. Not by power, not by might. You have to just switch the balance over to leaning on the things of the Spirit. It's just a small adjustment that we all need to make. Thank you, Lord. Maybe I'll save that for next week. But the things of God are spiritually discerned. They're nonsense to intellectual people. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. God's Spirit reveals things to our spirit. And it's right in front of our eyes. He's been doing this forever. God's Spirit revealing things to men's spirit, to women's spirits. Did you know that this book didn't come down printed and bound? It came down as words to someone's spirit, and they wrote it down. Even stuff that we would never know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How would you know? Were you there? No one was there. But God showed Moses exactly what he did. And he showed him what Adam and Eve did. He showed him things that he could never know pre-creation of Adam. And on this day, I made this. And then the next day, I made all the animals. And then the next day, I made this. How would you know? God's Spirit revealed it to another man's spirit, and he wrote it down, so we actually have it in this realm in a physical form. How would you know how Lucifer fell from heaven? How are you fallen? You said in your heart that you were going to take God's throne and take him down. That's how you're fallen. How would you know? Nobody was there. God's Spirit revealed it to Isaiah's spirit, and he wrote it down. The Lord said stuff to Moses. The Lord said things to the prophets. The Lord said things to David. The Lord showed things to Joshua. Are you seeing this right in front of your eyes? The Lord said to Abraham, oh, Abraham, I have made you father of many nations. The Lord said to Noah, the end of all flesh is at hand. Build yourself the biggest boat you've ever seen in your life. The Lord said to John the apostle, write this down. Write all this stuff down that you're seeing. Book of Revelations. How did that happen? God's Spirit spoke to men's spirits. That's why we have a physical book. But it didn't start physical. It was spiritually discerned and then physically written down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So we see all these men operating this way in the Old Testament. Prophets, priests, kings. But the promise for us in this dispensation was they're not going to teach every man his neighbor saying, do you know the Lord? Do you know what the Lord is saying? Can you hear anything? Do you see anything? Because that's how everyone in the Old Testament was, except for the prophet, the priest, and the king. What is he saying? What are you seeing? What is he telling you to do, Moses? What should we do? You got to get to the prophet because you can't see, you can't hear. But in our covenant, Hebrews says, if the first covenant had been faultless, we should not need a second covenant. But we needed a second covenant because we all need to hear God for ourselves. In that day, they won't teach every man his neighbor. Do you know the Lord? Is he saying anything to you? Yes, he's saying a lot of things to me. He's saying, I've called you to the South Pacific. He's saying, you're winning. Get up. He's saying, start 30 schools. I'm hearing them loud and clear. They'll all know me at this level, from the greatest to the least. Moses was the only one who could hear, hold your rod out over the water. But now we could all hear at that level. We can all hear victory instructions. Thank you, Lord. You see, the less real God is to you, the more you'll look other places. The less real that God is to you, the more you'll look to other people, especially. And if God is not real enough to you at all, in what the level that we're talking about, I pray and I never hear anything. I'm just going to ask my dad what to do, my mom what to do. Yeah? And if God is not real enough to you at all, that's all you'll look to. You'll look to people. If you don't believe in God, then you're not going to look to him to meet your needs at this level. So if you don't believe in God and he's not real to you, there's only one other place to look, and that is to people, physically and mentally, people who have what I need, people who are smarter than me, people who know more than I do. How can I get what I need from them? But faith doesn't put pressure on people. Faith only looks to God. If you look to God, he will come through for you. Quickly, Psalm 62, verse 1. I'm going to read it just briefly from the King James. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. My soul, wait thou only. You see that word only? Only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in him. Now, I want to read this from the Young's literal translation because it gets the structure of the wording, or the sentence structures were different than they are now. Things go in front and we put them in the back or in the middle. You know, some languages you put your descriptors in the front, the blue dress. But other languages, it's the dress blue. Do you understand? Hey, I like the dress blue. I like your blue dress. I like your dress blue. Young's translations, notice how it brings the word only out to the front. Only towards God is my soul silent. From him is my salvation. Verse 2, only he is my rock and my salvation, my tower. I am not much moved. Verse 5, only for God be silent, O my soul, for from him is my hope. Only from God. Only hope in him. Verse 6, only he is my rock, my salvation, my tower, and I am not moved. Well, in the previous verse, he's not much moved, but now he's not moved at all. Only God, only God. Verse 7, on God is my salvation and my honor, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Psalm 73, one of my favorite passages, says, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. That sounds a lot like, more than anything, it's you I long for. Let's quickly go to Psalms 20, verse 7. As we go there, I just want to encourage you. You can go to God for answers. You can go directly to God and get the right answer the first time. My help comes from the Lord. He may use different channels, but the source of your victory is the same. He may use different people. He may show you different ways to win. He may say, go to the doctor sometime. He may say, go to the pastor for prayer sometimes. It's the same source. Many channels that he can give you. Go do this. Go do this. Don't do that this time. Do this. Same source, but many different channels for victory. One source of victory that has many ways of getting the victory to you. He will come through. Psalms 20:20 and verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. But they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. I want to close tonight with a story about King Asa. King Asa trusted in God, and he won an impossible battle. But then he went backwards on the next battle and tried to trust in his flesh. The moral of the story is always trust in God, only on God. 2 Chronicles 14 and 9. I'll try to squish this down for you. Basically, the Ethiopians came up against King Asa. And Asa cried to the Lord. I'm in verse 11. The Ethiopians came. They came out against them. They had a host of 1,000 soldiers. That's 1,000,000 soldiers and 300 chariots. And Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, good move, very good, and said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, only on you. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Who are they looking to? Now, they probably got some swords and shields. They might have horses too. They might have some chariots. But who are they looking to? They're looking to God. Verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them to Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. Is that more than conquering? 1,000,000-man army defeated by a small army that trusted in the Lord, that trusted in God. But Asa got overconfident. And I'll just tell you this story for the sake of time. The next military campaign that he had an issue with another country, and it was actually Israel. And he decided to hire the Syrian army to fight the battle for him. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 16, his next military conquest. And he hired the Syrians to go up against an army. And the Lord came and talked to him about it through the prophet. Verse 7, 2 Chronicles 16, 7. And it says, and at the time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. And then the Lord reminded him, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, that very many with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Very famous passage of scripture here as we end tonight. For the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart, there's that word again, your heart is trusting in him. Your heart is looking to him. Your heart is listening for him. And that's the victory process that overcomes the world. The ERV says the eyes of the Lord go around looking in all the earth for people who are faithful to him so that he can make them strong. The Message Bible says God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. You were foolish to go for human help when you could have had the Lord's help, when you could have had a born of God answer, when you could have had, not by your power, not by your might, not by your money, but by the Spirit of God helping you win, showing you how to win. You could have had a more than conquering experience. You could have been brought to victory by the Lord leading you to victory. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. We go to our God. We understand and we're being trained that for us to receive an answer to prayer, we receive that with our spirits. God's spirit to my spirit. It's a spiritual transaction, not a physical transaction, not a mental or intellectual transaction. It's God's speaking to your spirit on the inside of you today. Why don't you stand with me tonight? The Lord wants you to win. The Lord wants to give you victory after victory after victory after victory. And the biggest victory that you can have in life is accepting him as your Lord and accepting him as your Savior. And I know we live in a country where there's a church on every corner in every village, and church attendance is at an all-time record. I believe it's 98% of people go to church here. But I want to make sure that you've done this in your life and you've done this from your heart, that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And you've confessed that with your mouth because you believe it in your heart. Let's all lift one hand tonight and just reaffirm whose we are. And if you've never prayed this before, I invite you to give your life to the Lord tonight. Say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. All of my life, you've been reaching for me to save me, to heal me, and bring me into your family. I accept you, Lord. I accept Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and make me new. And I will be with you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Did anyone pray that prayer for the first time tonight? And you'd just like to say, yep, I prayed that prayer. Anyone here? You prayed that prayer for the first time tonight? All right. Thank you, Lord. Now, the Lord recently reminded me that instead of trying to rush before he can move the way he wants to, that we need to be sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit within the services. And, you know, honestly, as a person, I try not to waste your time. I try not to make the services too long. I try to let you go as soon as I can. I'm very sensitive to people that I know you want to leave right now, and that sometimes pressures me to skip what God wants to do and just let everybody go. But he corrected me about that. He said, I want to move, and I want to heal people, and I want to show people who I really am, and I want to become real to them. So tonight, we're going to allow the Lord to move in this area of healing. If we can play and sing Waymaker. If you have a need in your body tonight, physical healing, oh, look to God. Oh, he's here. We look to him, only to him. My eyes are on him. My faith is in him. My trust is in him. If you've got a tumor, cancer of any kind, there's an anointing here to break that, to destroy that yoke in your life. How about this flu? How about it? Let's fight it off right now. Father, in Jesus' name. You are my healer. You saved my spirit. You saved me. Certainly you can heal our bodies, Lord. And right now, all of us, we believe, we receive complete strength in our physical bodies. Virus, leave. In Jesus' name. Every symptom, leave. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Go ahead and sing.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Let's sing that in Psalm 1.
Sayala vaiva vega, tausi fea ngainga, suluile pongisa atua, ooi la valena. Sayala vaiva venga, sasi fea ngainga, suluile pogisa atua, ooi la valena.
If you'd like to come this evening to have hands laid on you, if you came tonight saying, if the Lord leads pastor to pray for people at the end, I'm going up. If that's you, come now. He's here. And he's ready to show you how real he is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Healing, healing, oh, it was so for me. Thank you, Father. Father, you can heal anything and everything. You can heal physical bodies. You can heal hearts. You can heal relationships. You can heal everything in their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you wash over them right now. You can heal finances. You can heal dreams. You can heal the future. Restore everything to them, Lord. Heal their lives. Heal their bodies. Strengthen them, Lord. Give them a purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing in every area of their life. Every area. Thank you, Lord. A complete restoration. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Healing. Healing. Oh. Washes over you, healing, healing, mighty, 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 mighty man. Oh, it washes over you. I'm stronger every day. I'm stronger every day. His word is life and strength to you. You're stronger every day. And the same way he helped me win by saying things to my heart, like, you're winning. Get up. I have called you. I have a plan for you. The future is bright. Things are getting better. Things are getting brighter. You're getting stronger. Oh, yep, yep, yep. We're going up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. George, would you pray for Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. So my lily, pray for Ma. Kasu, pray, 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 pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fill him with your spirit. Fill him with your power. Fill him with the knowledge of you. Crystal clear. His spirit to your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anything you need tonight, anything that's lacking in your life, any answer you don't have, the Lord is mighty, mighty, mighty to save, mighty to answer, mighty to heal. Maybe you're too shy to come up, and I understand that. I'm a shy person too. Let's just lift our hands. And whatever it is that you need, that maybe I'm too shy to go up there. Just in your heart say, Lord, I receive of you right now. And we release the power. We release the glory. We release the healing. We release the answer. We receive. We receive. We receive from you everything. Everything we need. Thank you, Lord. We receive your healing power. We receive great wisdom for our family decisions. We receive wisdom for our marriages and how to raise our children. We receive wisdom for our finances. And we receive calls on our life. And we accept the plans that you have for us, Lord. Our eyes are only on you. Only, only, only on you. Only on you. Only on you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The secret place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Such a sweet presence of the Lord up here. I don't know if it's back there, but it's up. He's up here. So, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for teaching us. We're going to get this, Lord. We are going to get this. You know, them being able to hear God's voice caused miracles. I know. The biggest complaint that we have is that how come there's no miracles in our day? Well, miracles came by and through people that could hear him. So let's develop in that. I hope you have time to come back next week. And if you can come back on Sunday for Pastor Junior's message, The Spirit of a Man, we're running right next to each other. Please come back for that. I'm going to hand the service over to Pastor Jenny. And she might have a few little announcements for you. Pastor Jenny, why don't you come here? She's going to dismiss you tonight. And then we'll sing a song. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. We have our Saturday and Sunday night movies. At 7:30. Remember, free popcorn, free movie. But you can bring your own drinks or buy your drinks from Cantina. So that's tomorrow night and Sunday night.